Welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You're the only one who came on so far.
Okay.
So we can start if you like, but you may want to wait. Up to you.
Yeah, I'll wait a little longer. Okay.
Okay. You got home safely, I see. I'm glad to know that.
Yeah, so we didn't go into work. We worked from home today. So the roads were too icy to get out.
You have something. Good evening.
Good evening.
So we can begin. We are in the Parsha of Noah from the Zohar, section 25. We're starting with verse 182. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkin Te Bid Hilu, Urchimu Ud Hilu, Ud Hilu Urchimu, Le'akta, L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe, B'Yehuda, Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael, Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vahino Amadunai Elohinu Alena Maseya Denu Kurane Alena Maseya Denu Kuranehu. Amar Moshe Hashta Yemrun Bene Alma Tana Ketilat Lon Begin Da Amar Livie Ese Ocha Lagoy Gado. Ashta tabli te'emut velach yishtatun Yisrael miad vayachal Moshe et p'nei Hashem Elokav ba'arachamin alayhu ve'itar rachameh Al-Alma. Moses said, now all the people shall say that I have killed them, because Hashem has told me that he shall make me a great nation. Now it is best for me to die rather than have Israel destroyed. Then immediately Moses besought Hashem, his Elohim. He prayed for mercy, and indeed, mercy for the world was aroused. Question, thoughts, comments? Neither one of you have any thoughts?
Well, I was wondering what happened that he had to pray for mercy for the people? Were they doing something they weren't supposed to do?
This is right after the building of the golden calf.
Oh, okay.
And Moses went up, and God said he's going to destroy the children of Israel. And he's going to build or make Moses a great nation from his the one person, or from his family. You know, it's not discussed.
Right. But as I remember, when he pleaded, he said that if God destroyed them, then how would that look to the other nations?
That's correct. That's exactly correct. And we discussed that in the previous verse.
Okay.
It was yesterday, I believe, but...
This is Hannah. Sorry I'm late.
We're started and we're just talking about 182 and we're waiting for questions. So if you want to take the time to read 182.
Okay, I will. I had a neighbor come over. Okay.
Well, didn't God relent and he didn't destroy them?
That's correct. And that we discussed yesterday, that idea that God was hinting to Moses about, it's like the metaphor that's explained in the Midrash is that if you have a father and a mother, and the father sees something, or even the mother asks the father to discipline the child for something he did incorrectly, and he's got his hand upraised to strike the child, and the mother stops him. He's the mother holding his arm back, you know, pleading not that he shouldn't hit the child.
Right.
Shouldn't strike the child. That's the metaphor. And Moses is the mother holding back the arm of Hashem. And that's the conversation that took place. And Moses picked up on the hint, and that's when he started to do it. That's when he started to pray for mercy for the children of Israel. But what is hinted at in this verse is how, if you're praying for the children of Israel, how does that mean mercy for the whole world? And we get the teaching from the sages that what happens to the children of Israel happens to the whole world.
Wow.
As an example, and whenever something negative happens to to the children of Israel, 10 times as much happens to the other nations. And the example of that is that there were 6 million Jews killed in the Shoah, and there was 50 million people who died in the Second World War. And since the 50 million is an estimate, it was more than likely 60 million.
Wow. Well, I've seen that
You actually see that happen throughout the world in many different historical events. But
right.
Go ahead, Brandy. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
I saw that happen. Years back when Israel was forced to give up land. And what transpired was the people that were from a certain geographic area, they then experienced horrific weather that caused life damage as well as property and physical and everything else damage. So I can see where when something happens to Israel, it does affect the rest of the nations. Because true, if we don't bring enough Shefa down, the Jewish people don't bring enough Shefa down, then it doesn't go out to the nations and it doesn't satisfy them. Then they get all, coin a phrase, bent out of shape. And then things happen.
Well, that's exactly correct. It's as we teach in the last class of the basic classes. That's the purpose of anti-Semitism, that the children of Israel are really the cause of anti-Semitism, because that group of people wouldn't have permission to harm the children of Israel unless the children of Israel are not doing their spiritual work or not bringing
right.
down enough Shefa, in your phrasing. And it's correct.
Right.
But the other thing to think about in this verse, go ahead, Hannah.
Well, I was thinking of the concept of measure for measure.
Yes.
I don't know if it's the same example that Brendan Doyle was giving, but several years ago I noticed the correlation between if we don't honor the borders of Israel, then our borders don't honor us. And the borders were the oceans and the Gulf of Mexico, and we suffered Katrina and then Rita a month later. And I've even noticed that when it's a specific leader from a specific state that decrees something against Israel, either to give up their land or whatever, then something happens to their state not long after that. And it's a pattern.
It's a spiritual law of cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
If you go through, if history is a veil where Hashem is hiding, as we've been studying from Rabbi Sutton's translation of the Psalms. And so when you look at history, you go back 400 or 500 years, the children of Israel used to be in the, they couldn't live in England. They were barred from England. And then when they were allowed to move into Israel, and not to Israel, but into England, then after a couple hundred years, they were thrown out of England. And immediately after that, I believe they went into the Spanish, the war with Spain. And when in various cities where there would be pogroms, that immediately afterwards the area would suffer some form of black plague or some other type of illness. So all of these things are related, and you can see the pattern if you study history with the identification of the, if you're looking for the pattern. The question is that people have to ask themselves, am I finding what I expect to find, or am I finding truth? And that's a question we always have to deal with, because what we see is what we expect to see. I'll go out to Pasuk 183, unless there are other questions. Wa'amar Rabbi Yitzhak Shiruta Deva Rachame Alayhu Maka Amar Lama Hashem Yechere Apcha Be Yamecha Vekimila Daech Amar Kla Moshe Lama Vehavadu Kom Kada Asu Lachem Egel Maseke Vishtachalu Lo Vayom Rudu Ele Wigomer Moshe Amar Lama Elahake Olif Naman Din Ratsa Diachara Labae Lemebad Aruchova Rav Ela Yazer Lea Kamea Ulvatar Yaske Lea Kamea Achara Diktivatem Chatatem Chata'a Gedola. Rabbi Yitzhak continued, at first when he pleaded for mercy for them, what did he say? He said, Hashem, why does your wrath burn against your people? And he asked, why did Moshe ask why? They sinned by idol worshiping, for it is written, they have made them a molten calf and have worshiped it. Nevertheless, Moses asked why, and he answers that we have already learned that when a person is trying to appease a friend who has been offended by another, he should not magnify, but should rather minimize the offense in the eyes of the offended. Later, he should maximize it in the eyes of the offender. So this is why Moses asked before, the Holy One, blessed be he, why does your wrath burn against your people? He minimized the sin, but afterward magnified it to the people of Israel, saying, you have sinned a great sin. Questions, comments, thoughts.
I think that this example is a perfect example of psychology. And the fact...
How so?
Well, if you're in an argument with someone, if you escalate the... If you raise your voice or your mannerism indicate aggression, then it escalates more. But if you have a soft... If you have a soft voice, oftentimes that soft and calm voice turns away wrath. So
yes,
Moses,
it does.
So Moses, not that God was excited, that would be something we would think in our terms, that he was using psychology to carry a soft voice rather than an aggressive voice, so that he could get mercy.
Well, I think
this
if you make
right
to Hashem, you're going to walk softly.
Yeah, walk
well,
softly.
Hashem speaks to us with a still small voice. But the verse isn't really talking about psychology.
Okay.
It's talking about how you bring peace to someone. It's not really utilizing psychology. It's utilizing psychology in the sense you magnify to one side and you minimize to the other side how they're going to perceive things. But it's not really individual psychology like I'm thinking, and maybe I'm wrong in limiting it, but when I think of a psychology, I think of about someone's personal perception of themselves, not trying to have them see things, try to bring peace by bringing a different perspective to the other person. I don't consider that psychology. I think that I see that as a tactic in bringing peace.
Okay. I can go along with that.
Anyone have any other comments?
Well, I was trying to think of an example in my own life, and I can't think of an example.
When was the last time you had an argument with Tony?
Gosh. I don't even remember. Our
exactly.
arguments are little things, you know, like we get dressed to go somewhere, and to me, he looks like he's getting ready to go cut grass. Our arguments
right.
aren't big, you know, big arguments. They're little tiny things, you know. And he kind of gets frustrated, and I say, well,
yeah, but,
tells me he's not going to change his clothes. And I said, well, I'm not going to go with you then. So a few minutes later, he comes out and he's changed his clothes.
Now, the only reason he changes his clothes is because he knows you're stubborn enough not to go with him. or he doesn't want to be without you, so he'll acquiesce to it. The point is, it's really not. It does. This technique applies to big things, of course, but it also applies to little things. How about the discussion between early married people about one of them is pushing the toothpaste up from the bottom and the other one's pushing the toothpaste up from the middle. And it gets into a heated argument. Because that argument is not about the toothpaste, it's about other issues going on in the marriage. But how do you bring peace between two people? Now, I'm not talking now about how... I'm sorry?
I said, I think you talk about it. I know occasionally he has, you know, he'll tell me that I'm too particular. And I'll say, in what way? Because the way you want to fold the clothes to put them in the drawer or whatever. And I said, well,
right.
Let me tell you why I fold them that way. I fold them that way because that's the way they fit on the shelf. How is that being particular? And he says, oh, you know, he'll say, let me fold the clothes for you. You're not feeling well. I said, no, I can do that. Oh, you're just being particular. You want to fold them a certain way, don't you? I said, well, I do want to fold them a certain way, but the certain way is only because that's the way they fit on the shelf. Oh, okay, go ahead and fold the clothes. So I think discussion between the two people, sometimes it's a lack of communication. And
well, it's always lack of communication.
Right.
Even God's response to the golden calf is a lack of communication.
Mm-hmm.
The people had a reason to build the golden calf. Now, Satan got into the middle of that the Erev Rav got into the middle of that, and they focused. They had an agenda with to bring their grandfather up from having been reincarnated into grass and bring him up to move him into the animal world. But be that as it may, the issue is that there's always agendas. Everybody has an agenda. Whether there's an argument or there's peace, everybody has an agenda. The question is, do you recognize that agenda in your discussions? Yes, two people arguing is a discussion, but here we're describing a level of three things, three groups. Moses representing one group. Yes, he's part of the children of Israel, but he didn't participate in the building of the golden calf. He knew it was wrong. Why did they build the golden calf? Because they had the experience at Mount Sinai that connection directly by the children of Israel to Hashem is too intense, too strong an energy. They heard the first two of the Esser Dibrot themselves directly from God. They died each time. And they said to Moses, enough. You listen to God and tell us what he said. They requested Moses to be an intermediary. Now, Moses is dead as far as they are concerned. Moses said, I'm going up for 40 days. And he left. He left at noon on the first day. Is the first day of the day to count it, or do you count it the next day as the first day? If you left on the third of the month at noon, is the fourth day sunrise the first day or the second day? It's a reasonable question. It's a reasonable error. How do you know for sure? You have to wait till the person comes back. But instead of waiting till the person came back, Satan showed people visions. Well, who did he show the visions to? He showed the visions to the people who were meditating. Who did he show the visions to? He showed the visions to some people, not all people. But those people who saw the visions, what did they see? They saw the body of Moshe. Well, Moshe wasn't in his body. He had left his body on earth and taken on a different type of clothing. A cloud is the way it's described in the Torah. His clothing became a cloud. The people saw his body. They didn't know where it was, but they could see that he was dead. God forbid. So what did they do? They feared for themselves. What did they fear? I have to talk to God directly again. That's a very frightening thing to somebody who's died because they talked to God the first time. So their building of the golden calf was a channel. Now, along comes the heir of Rav and says, oh, we have a solution for you. We'll build something that will be a channel for you. Is it reasonable? On a surface, it's reasonable, but it violates the prohibition against idol worship. Was Moshe an idol to some people? Remember, Jacob was concerned about the Egyptians putting his body as an idol. this verse in the Zohar is very powerful. It's explaining how do you bring peace between people. When you're in an argument with you and your husband, that's not the same as being the third category of trying to bring peace between two people. It applies because if you're in an argument with your spouse, you have to think it through. What is your goal? Is this argument about this specific thing? Or is it my agenda that's getting in the way? It's part of the way we think about ourselves, the way we delve into our character traits. When we ask ourselves, why did I get upset that he wants me to, using Hannah's example, why am I upset that he wants me to fold the clothes differently? Oh, because I know better, I've experienced it more often, why is he getting into it? Did we ask ourselves that question? Why is he even bothering with this? This is a task that I do. Yes, he's trying to help, but all I have to do is explain it to him, and it calms down. It's not an argument. He's trying to help. How can I let him help in another way? Or am I trying to control the issue? So what if he folds it a different way and it doesn't fit on the shelf more that convenient? How important that is to me? Obviously, Hannah, I'm not trying to embarrass you or bring it up. I'm using this as an example, a teaching example.
Since I've been following, I'm letting him put the clothes any way he wants. Because it is helping me. I don't know if you remember when I first began to study with you, one of the biggest things that I felt I had to change about myself was patience. Because people were always interrupting me when I would start a task, even my husband. I thought that I needed patience. But then you made a comment to me, I think that was how I saw it, and it was the idea of, well, what I saw was it really was selfishness. It wasn't a lack of patience. Why did I think that my time was more important than his time or anybody else's time if they interrupted me? And that was a big eye-opener for me. And, of course, you know, the same thing happens again, and so you recognize it, and you realize, oh, it's not impatience. It's not that you have to be patient with that person. It's the idea you stop what you're doing because their schedule is just as important as yours. And I remember the first time I was supposed to do some editing. I couldn't do it because I got an interruption. And from there on after, it's been a little bit easier when I get an interruption. Because it was selfishness, not a lack of patience, which is a big character trait. The selfishness. Most of the time, it is selfishness.
Yeah. I thank you for reminding me, because that's one of the things that one of the character traits associated with the Gemini, and my moon is in Gemini, is the lack of patience, the quickness. And so I find myself constantly interrupting people to inject the thought, because I know where their thoughts are going, where their explanation, where their words, their sentences are going. And is it a lack of patience, or is it a lack of recognizing the agenda that I'm bringing into the conversation? And that's really the issue, because many times The feminine trait is to discuss. The feminine trait is to bring things into a discussion and a circle of sharing the consciousness, sharing the event, sharing how someone feels. This is a feminine trait. The male trait is to take action. And so my agenda when I am interrupting somebody is not a lack of patience. It's trying to inject a solution when that may not be what the person needs to have happen. The person may just need to be validated because you took the time to listen to them. So everyone has character traits that are associated with their astrology that they need to look at and decide if they want to change that, but they need to recognize, what is my agenda in this situation? And people don't take the time they're not aware of what their agendas are. And that's where people get into conflict. So our class at 7 o'clock tonight, West Coast time, is questions and answers. So please bring your questions to us. And I thank you for this discussion, because it reminds me that I haven't really gotten rid of that lack of patience, which isn't a lack of patience.
Thank you, Hanok. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you all.
All right. Bye-bye.